The Bastards of Boston Baseball Podcast.
Back to Folk. Red Sox fans have longed to hear it. The Boston Red Sox are world champion. Game over, series over, and the Red Sox are world champs again.
Yes, indeed. Here it comes. Another edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another spring training edition of the Bastards of Boston Baseball. We will just call it that from here out. Technically, the stove could still be hot, moves could be made, but we are in the spring training phase, so let's just call it for what it is. The big topic this weekend for the Red Sox side of the spectrum, Dylan Cease. Apparently, Craig Breslow has been in touch with the San Diego Padres. A lot of people thought there was momentum, but then later reports came out saying it's more of a due diligence thing. And I certainly have my thoughts. I'm not a Dylan Cease trade guy, and I'll get into that. Charlie has a differing opinion, and we'll get to that. But so I am Terry Cushman, joined tonight by Charlie Smith. The two of us tag team it tonight. Charlie, how are you?
I'm doing well. You know, it's been kind of a unique last couple of days for me. A lot of people chirping because of the Bregman thing. I've been very vocal about not wanting him. But, you know, as you and I have already discussed, you might not necessarily get all the picks you want, and you might not get all the players you want. At the end of the day, Alex Bregman does fill that hole and does fill that right-handed needed bat that we can't go into the season without. So this Dylan Cease thing that you just so eloquently brought up, depending on what happens in that deal, I could be open to it, but I don't want the Boston Red Sox to kind of hand tie themselves into a bad situation when we could just wait 1 year and potentially sign them to our terms and not lose the players that we could lose.
Yeah. So let's just go over why he is attractive. I mean, the stuff you just can't deny, what a lot of people are fixated on. He has started 32 or more games the last four straight years. And that's starting 2021 forward. You couldn't have done that in 2020. Fairly solid outside of 2023, kind of had an off year, 4.5 ERA. Let's see, strikeout per nine was pretty good, but the walks were way up, 4 walks per nine innings. And, you know, but other than that, I mean, Cy Young runner up in 2022, finished fourth on the NL side of it this previous year. So the dude's a horse. And he's got 1 year remaining. And I think after the Bregman development, you know, Red Sox fans still have their pedal to the metal, and I get it. Here's what I don't like about it. Here's why I don't want him. He only has 1 year left. If it were 2 years, my attitude would be way different. I'd be willing to give up a Willier Abreu type package, and, you know, with one or two other significant pieces, and I would do it. But he does only have 1 year left. Scott Boras is his agent, so it's gonna be a Corbin Burns type approach. And I guarantee you he'll get a nice contract after the season if he stays healthy. But he probably won't sign until January or February. It's just going to be that type of a situation for him, I think. And he'll get... to me, Dylan Cease is like Blake Snell. Blake Snell. Except for he's more durable, obviously. But a little inconsistent here and there. When he's on, he's nasty. But, you know, their trajectories throughout the season end up being similar. And then as far as what we have, Crochet, Buehler, Hauk, that's a hell of a 1-3. And then you got a bunch of guys. Bayo should be better. He's dealing with a shoulder thing, but I think that's just, you know, that's just a ramping up type thing, and he'll probably be fine. The Red Sox don't seem to be alarmed. So you got him as your number four. Giolito potentially as your number five. Crawford has a knee injury. They're kind of trying to feel it out. But you have Fitz and Priester, if need be, for the five spot. But I'm good. If we miss the postseason, it's not going to be because of our starting rotation.
Mm. So I'm going to say one thing. I very much disagree with that take comparing him to Blake Snell. Blake Snell has been good two times in his career, is 41 and 44 in seven seasons, not counting those two Cy Young years, one Tampa Bay, and then obviously 2023 in San Diego. Dylan Cease is a consistent horse, as you mentioned. The one difference is that Cease's strikeout numbers may have come down. Cease is going to give you 200 innings or close to it every year. He's going to strike out 200 guys every year. Snell struck out 200 guys in only those seasons that he won a Cy Young. His ERA in his career is 3.19. If you throw out that 1.89 and 2.25, you're humming close to probably 3.7 to 4. I didn't do the math out, but not nearly as good. I would love to see what a Cease to Boston move would look like. Am I all systems go? Like you mentioned, I would love to have a second year that does offer a little bit more. I think it's more enticing if you're to try to make that deal. There's nothing keeping him in Boston if you're shipping out four players. Like, you think about what the New York Yankees did when they shipped out everything for Juan Soto, and Juan Soto walked at the end. So it was a, let's just see if this works. And if Dylan Cease were to come to the Boston Red Sox, you are probably getting rid of, like you mentioned, a Willy Abreu. Cutter Crawford was mentioned in that package as well. But Dylan Cease wasn't the only person coming back from San Diego in that deal. They were also flirting with a starter closer package with Robert Suarez, who, as you and I discussed, is 33 years old. So, and he's already dealt with one knee surgery. So they're going to be asking for, hypothetically, a couple of future stars in that deal. I don't know if I'm absolutely married to it. I'd rather wait a year and see, but then you're going to have to deal with the people saying, you got Garrett Crochet, you got Alex Bregman. If you're not willing to deal these prospects now, not all of them are going to play in Boston. Not all of them are going to hit. Cutter Crawford, in theory, would be a part of the package being sent back. And then you're left with a rotation that consists of Garrett Crochet, Dylan Cease, Walker Buehler for a year. So in theory, it could be the same thing. Walker Buehler could walk after 1 year. Dylan Cease could walk after 1 year. Crochet's here for a little bit. So you'd have to rebuild around Crochet again. Tanner Houck is here. Bayo is here. So you have, in theory, a Cease, Buehler, Crochet mixing with Houck and Bayo for your 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. After that, where's your depth if one of those guys goes down? So some Major League Baseball teams have stocked up on starting pitching. They've gotten an extra starter. They've gotten two. Some teams have gotten five. Like the Dodgers have a starting rotation A and B. It's absolutely insane what they're doing in LA. And I just don't think the Red Sox are going to do it. And if, hypothetically speaking, they were to take on Dylan Cease's contract, I mean, I love what he's done about against some of the teams in the AL East. He's absolutely dominated Baltimore. He's dominated Toronto. I don't think he's done that well against the Yankees. And he hasn't done great against the Sox. So there's that. I'd love to see it, but at what cost? And then if both of them walk, that being both Cease and Buehler, how much longer is it going to take to rebuild if you don't have a Willy Abreu, a Cutter Crawford, who could potentially stay in San Diego after that? And what is that going to look like? Is it going to be a 1 year, let's just shoot for the moon and hope it works out? And if it doesn't, then, oh, well, at least we can say we tried, because that's not going to work for fans in Boston. We've been a back burner team for several years. The last time we went to the World Series and won was 2018. I kind of miss it. I'm itching for it. It'd be really, really nice. And I'd love to see, you know, even Bayo take a step up. But with 1 year there, I don't know if the front office is actually going to pull the trigger. I would be shocked if they did. I would be super excited because I would say the Boston Red Sox are a top two team in the AL East. I would say we're a top three, top four team, and we should be a playoff team. We should be able to get past the ALDS. I'd love, you know, a shot at the moon, maybe the championship series with that as your rotation. But if we're not going to get Cease, I don't think I can confidently say that we're going to get to the championship series. You're on the outside looking in for a wild card spot. Maybe you get there, but I don't know how far you go. I mean, injuries are a part of the game. Other teams could suffer, but that's, you know, the Boston Red Sox are no stranger to injuries in the rotation and the bullpen. So I don't know. I'm going to say that I'm in the middle between where you stand about being very much against it and being all for it. I can see an argument both ways. So, you know, it call me silly for teetering on both sides, but unless Dylan Cease is willing to sign an extension upon being traded, I don't know if I could get behind the move.
So just some comps real quick between Cease and Snell. Cease, a 3.75 ERA guy. Snell, actually a lot better, 3.19, and with a bigger sample size, a lot more innings, you know, 250 or so more innings. Their strikeout per nines, their walks per nines are somewhat similar. Cease has a bit of an edge, 3.8. I would say that's high for a pitcher of his caliber. 3.8 walks per nine, Snell a little bit higher, 4.1. Where Snell does have a bit of an edge is the strikeout per nine. He's the pure strikeout guy between the two, an 11.2 strikeout per nine in his career. So Cease 10.8, well above average, but you know, a little bit behind Snell. So I think they're fairly similar, but you give Cease the more points for being the horse and staying on
absolutely
the field. Yeah, that's the edge I give him. But we'll see though. I mean, the next few years, maybe Cease does set himself apart, you know, barring good health, obviously.
Nine seasons, Snell has only exceeded 24 starts three times. That means you're missing a fourth of the season.
Roughly.
That's too much baseball. Yeah. You know, that's a lot of baseball that now you're depending on one of your six, seven rotation guys or fillers to come in and cover you. And nothing against Snell. Snell's been a Cy Young winner twice. He's won 21 games once in his career. But since that 21 game, you know, season, I mean, it took him almost four seasons to get to 21 after that. 6, 4, 7 were the next 3 years combined. You have to get eight, you know, to get back to that 21. So he's had two really good campaigns, but I don't know if I can say that I'd rather have, I hear what you're saying. I would rather have Cease over Snell. Snell's also 3 years older. That's another piece too.
Yeah. The other thing, I wouldn't put a ton of stock in here, but I mentioned it in the war room earlier. Just imagine how history would be different. Dylan Cease had the ball against the Dodgers in game four, and he was pitching against their bullpen. And I'm thinking the Dodgers are out. They just backed up the Brinks truck for Ohtani, Yamamoto. That was $1 billion between two players. I'm not exaggerating. Over $1 billion. And here were the Padres, the Cinderella team, as it appeared. You know, Dylan Cease just needed to close it out and got tattooed. And history, as we know it, took a different turn. And the Dodgers, you know, might be the new evil empire. But anyway, so that's just interesting. But the one thing to me is, I mean, last year's rotation was built entirely, as it turned out, around Tanner Houck and Cutter Crawford. Like, those were your horses. Those were the guys keeping it afloat. Bayo had a terrible first half, pitched pretty well in August and September. I think he had like a sub 350 ERA in those final 8 weeks. But it was built around them. I mean, we're already way better than that. Not only do we have those two still, but you've got Crochet and Buehler. So it's puzzling to me that they want to give up a significant package here for Dylan Cease. So why? Like, is Tanner Houck hurt? It doesn't seem like Crochet or Buehler have been hurt based on the workouts and the interviews.
No.
Haven't heard a lot from Houck, so I'm not trying to start like a big rumor or anything, but like this needs to make sense, and you do have glaring needs. Now, Robert Suarez, I would do a one for one. They could take Willie Abreu or Tristan Casas, and we'll take Suarez, and we'll have an elite closer at the back end of our bullpen, and possibly the best bullpen in Major League Baseball. At that point,
you would trade Casas for Robert Suarez.
Yes.
Straight up one for one.
I would do that. Yeah, I would. For 3 years of a closer, I would do that. And it preserves
36 at the end of that. Yeah.
It preserves the farm. Yeah.
It does. Yeah.
I'm not too worried about it. I mean, you know, I mean,
I'm more inclined, like, I'm down to give Willie Abreu away for a closer.
That's probably who the Red Sox will try to dangle,
you know,
first.
To be honest, yeah.
Yeah.
You're going to want to get power for power, and then like someone who could be that, you know, gold glove caliber, maybe 25-100 outfielder, but until he's actually done 25-100, it's just upside. You know, the ceiling could be potentially high for Willie or Abreu, and I'll be forever grateful for the cash that wasn't in right field at Fenway Park, where he caught his elbow, hit the seat, and the ball bounced out. I'm sure you remember exactly which catch I'm talking about, the one that wasn't. It was an incredible play, and it just didn't work out. But, you know, he's going to give it his all. I would be willing to do that deal, and I think the Padres may welcome it. I also do not trust the Padres GM. This guy has gotten in trouble multiple times. I've been on the air multiple times saying it. I think AJ Preller is a jerk. I think he's a joke, but I mean, I can't deny his ability to be able to make the right moves for the team when it counts the most. I mean, getting rid of Soto and getting that kind of haul back, holy crap. You got Juan Soto, or you gave away Juan Soto. That I expect a huge package for. To expect the same thing for Dylan Cease or something like it, yeah, no, I'm not sure I could be down with that. I don't think I could do something like that.
Even without the shadiness of Preller, I still wouldn't want him. He's just too erratic for me, you know?
Who?
AJ Preller, yeah. Like,
oh, I wouldn't touch him with a 10-foot pole. I don't trust him.
Well, I'm saying aside from that, even if none of that existed, he's just too erratic for me with his moves. I mean, why aren't you trying to extend Michael King at this point? And, you know, you traded Soto away. Why aren't you maximizing your investment? It's not like Michael King's going to get, I don't think he's going to get a Dylan Cease type deal, but, you know, I don't even know if they thought they were really going to have that run last year, and they made the trade and then cashed in on him. And still, I don't know. And their ownership situation is a mess. Anyway, a lot of stuff's come out in recent weeks.
Do you know what the Padres' biggest mistake was?
What's that?
Signing Xander Bogaerts to an 11-year, oh, yeah, $280 million deal. That has absolutely destroyed that team's future for a good 5-year window, easily.
I think for the whole nine remaining, really.
Probably, but you know what? I mean, he's there through 33, right?
His age 41 season.
That's insane.
He couldn't,
because that means the last 5 years he's going to be garbage. Not garbage, but he's not going to be. He's probably going to be DH at that point.
He was so, I wouldn't say frail, but the dude was like worn out by like August when he was like 27, and they're going to make it work till he's 41.
They're going to blow it up. Do you know what they're going to have to do to blow it up? They're going to have to trade Fernando Tatis, eat up some of that money, and Xander Bogaerts as a package, or they're going to have to pay up, you know, $8 million a year remaining for, you know, Xander's contract, something insane, because the Padres they're in trouble, because come years 28, 29, 30, that's $50 million on the books. That's insane. That means Xander Bogaerts will be 34, 35 at the time. Fernando Tatis will be 28, 29. So kind of peaking for his prime years. It boggles the mind. When that contract happened, I remember thinking, wait, did that just happen? Like, I'm not angry that we didn't get him. I was just shocked that was the total amount of money. It was insane.
Yeah, you know, Tatis is he'll be 26 this year. How much time does he have left on that deal? Probably about 10 years.
It's almost the same deal as Xander. It's a year longer. So he'll be there to 34.
Yeah.
Oh, is it 35? I thought it was 34. Okay. Yeah.
Well, that's his last year, actually. So you're correct. Yeah. 35 is his free agent year. But so 2024, that's his age 35 season.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I don't think a team should have to eat money on that. I mean, that should be a good deal, I would say.
And so he's getting 36. Yeah, he's going to get $36 million for the last 7 years of his deal.
But that's not insane. It seemed insane at the time, but
right.
But I would do that. I mean, that could be your Manny Ramirez type situation from the right side.
It could be.
But I don't think San Diego's ready to do that yet. So we'll see. But I'm really skeptical. The only reason Cease makes sense to me is that if there's an injury that we're not aware of, maybe it's Giolito. I don't know. I don't know, but this is the best rotation we've had since the last World Series that we won. So I would love to have another righty bat in there by hook or by crook. I think you have to move Casas in order to make that happen. But you know, it is what it is, and I wouldn't mind a stud reliever. We might have a great bullpen as it is, but we won't know until we see it. You know, what is Liam Hendricks? Is Justin Slayton the same guy that he was last year with a higher ceiling still to be ascended to? Chapman, I mean, that could go sideways. So, but, you know, it could all be brilliant. So it's tough to tell. So let's get into Devers real quick. So two things are going on here. Alex Cora, we were all under the presumption Alex Bregman was going to play second base. That's what Passan said, his sources were saying, the night that the Bregman signing took place, or the announcement of the signing. But Alex Cora says yesterday he's not ready to commit to second base for Bregman. So if he's not playing second, he's probably playing third. And the other thing going on is Devers will be talking to the media. He'll have his first media session tomorrow, or Monday. So that'll be today for the listening audience. And so we should find some stuff out, I would say. There's no way Devers is going to meet with the media without a long conversation with Breslow and Cora having taken place before he has that media session.
Well, I mean, it wouldn't be fun without a little bit of chaos, right? In Boston, you've added a couple of pieces, and now you've brought in a third baseman who can field the position really well. I would love for somebody like Bregman to be able to give off some of that experience and knowledge to Devers to perhaps make him better at third base. And I'm curious, you know, like if Bregman's not going to play second and he may not play third, where else would he go? Would he go back to the, you know, an outfield position? He's not going to play short. And I don't know about him playing first base either, you know? So it's really, really interesting. I'm curious to see if Devers actually becomes vocal, because he really isn't a vocal guy, and that's okay. Like I think we've only heard Devers complain once, if I'm not mistaken. It was one time that he's really made his opinion heard, saying, you know, get us the players that we need to be good, help the team get better. But for the first time in his career, the Red Sox are bringing in a player that actually can field his position possibly better. Won't have the same level of pop, won't have more home runs, won't have probably the higher batting average, probably won't, you know, won't drive in as many runs. We'll probably steal more bases, but Devers is going to be a much better offensive third baseman than Bregman. I would be shocked if Rafael Devers doesn't make a comment saying, nope, third base is mine. That's the arrangement. That's the deal. He's playing second base. And like, that's it. But we haven't heard that yet. I am very curious to hear what Devers has to say.
Where do you want Devers to play? Like, I'm steadfastly saying if he wants to play in the field, whether it's on one of the corners, I think he should. That's how I feel. But there are other 100%. Guys on the crew that say, no, he has to DH. That has to be where he is.
Where's Yoshida going to play? Where are you putting his bat?
He's probably Audi 5,000 if that happens.
Right, so you're eating up that contract. You're just going to just throw that money away?
So Casas or Yoshida are out for some, in one scenario or another, if Bregman goes to third. Because Devers has to either go to DH to appease the other guys on our crew, or he has to go to first. So here's my thing.
Devers is moving.
Well, here's my thing. I can't keep harping on this, and perhaps it'll finally get put to bed on Monday, but he's been in camp since January. He's putting in the work. I've never questioned the effort. I've never questioned it. He's a Husky guy, but he shows up ready to go. Nobody's ever said, ooh, Devers came in heavy to camp. That's never been a thing. He's always ready to go. And, you know, he's only 27 years old. I don't think he's ready to just sit in the dugout the entire game except for his four at-bats. I think he wants to be on the field. And I think he's got the clout. I think he does have I think he's got a little bit of leverage here. And I think it's reasonable to move him to first if he's somewhat willing to do it. And here's the thing. Bregman might only be here a year. I think he's going to be here all three, personally. But there is a possibility. And Boris has screwed up before royally, so he could opt out.
Right. I think you hit the nail on the head with that one, that Bregman might only be here 1 year. If you take Devers off of third base and then he has to go back to it in 2 years and it takes time to get reacclimated with third base, I think you've done more harm than good. Why move him away from a position? It just doesn't make sense. And I don't know which ones in the crew think that he's going to be the DH. I think that's, I mean, it's a pipe dream.
Well, Evan, we're throwing guys under the bus, but Evan would, you know.
I'll talk to Evan. There's no way that's happening. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Like the Red Sox, you're spending all this money to bring on guys. You're going to spend money and then just throw money away by not having, like, I get it. Yoshida is going to be a bat that is not a long-term fix. It's hogtied this lineup in an ugly way, but he's still here. There's still a lot of money owed there. And if it was, you know, 1 year, okay, I get it. But this isn't like Pablo Sandoval money where he's just not in shape and he's not getting it. He could potentially be a serviceable bat. And who knows? Maybe he does get moved as part of a package. Maybe he lights it up for April and May and is gone. You know, like you're not going to get premium value for someone that's not playing. We already know he's predominantly a DH. There's no surprises there. If he plays in the field, bring popcorn. It's going to be fun. It's going to be a wild ride. But if he does very well, you could move that bat and maybe get something back, alleviate the full salary, something. Then I could justify maybe a movement, or maybe he doesn't play third base every game. Maybe every fourth game he gets to be the DH, or he can get one game every week at first base, or come in and maybe just play a couple innings at first base and DH as well, just to get a little bit of rest. I would be open to that idea then, but not until that point.
Okay, and I've made this point before, but we're all Hanley Ramirez survivors, and he played an adequate first base. To my shock, he was fine at first base. Mike Napoli, we sat through that whole winter of, can he actually do it? He's been a catcher his whole career. Can he play first? He crushed it at first base, as far as I'm concerned. Now, here's the insane thing, and nobody ever talks about this, but when we still had National League rules where the, you know, the the pitcher would, where there was no DH rather, in the World Series, David Ortiz would play first base. That's insane to me. Like, that should be insane, okay? That he hasn't played first base all year, and now in the three most important games, assuming the Red Sox are going to have home field advantage, the three most important games of the year, you're going to put Ortiz at first base. That should have been insane, but nobody questions it because he was a god by that point. So take all that combined, Ortiz in the World Series, Hanley Ramirez, Mike Napoli. I'm fine with Devers at first base. He'll figure it out. We watched Connor Wong do it last year. We watched Christian Vasquez do it in the World Series too, during the Eovaldi extra innings thing. So
right.
I'm good with. I think it's a fair compromise, and I think Devers ultimately would go along with going to first base if the powers that be were adamant about it.
Maybe, but I don't know. I want to hear him talk first.
I do. That's going to be something we're all fixated on. I don't know when that's going to happen, but we'll see. But we'll wrap on that. We are going to come back with another show. We're going to do. There's two free agents out there that could conceivably be a fit for the Red Sox. Two guys that were on the team previously, and I don't know, we'll kick it around a little bit. So that show will drop tomorrow, and if anything else develops, you might get some bonus content beyond that. But we will be back with the second show on Tuesday, and then probably Wednesday or Thursday night for the next one. Take care.